Hope you can all hear me. That's good. Our first reading, if someone would like to do the first reading for me, it is from Philippians chapter 1 and 1 to 10. Oh, sorry.
So Philippians chapter 1.
Okay.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. What a man Paul was. Can we ever come up to his standards? I don't think so. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yeah. My second reading this morning is from the same book, Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let all the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guide your heart and your mind in Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What a beautiful letter to Timothy. Encouragement. So, come on. How do we rejoice? And how do we celebrate when we get good news? Some people have the tendency to jump up and down. Oh, what great news, what great news. Others just take it as it comes. But there is always a reason why we have to celebrate. How did you react when Jesus first came into your life? Did you jump up and down? Did you just sit there and talk? I remember vividly the day the Lord came into my life. I was driving home from Wimborne, and all that day we were talking about the Lord. And on the bypass, tears started to roll down my face. I pulled over and I wept. Not with tears of sadness, but tears of complete joy and peace and understanding that the Lord had saved me. And to this very day, I can see it. Oh, it gives me great joy to know what Jesus has done for me on Calvary's tree. I tremble before the Lord because I know for certainty what power he has in his hands. If we could only have the slightest little glimpse of the power of God, it would blow our minds. We just couldn't take it in. So his majesty is beyond what we can ever think of. His grace has washed us clean. Oh, the blood of the Lamb that was flowed down at Calvary. Isn't this something to celebrate and rejoice? There is strength and peace in the promise of that grace, that Jesus, when he comes into our lives, will give us that complete peace. The world will try and tell you different, that there is no peace, but Jesus is peace. In Romans, chapter 1, it says there in verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind." So there we have it. We have to renew everything in Christ Jesus. We need to ask ourselves one question. Do we believe God when he speaks to us? Are we obedient or disobedient? I can't answer that question. But in today's society, in schools, homes, and churches, young people are not taught the ABC of the Bible. There is no foundation. The house is built on walls and roof, and there is nothing to support it. The first 11 books of Genesis gives us that assurance that there is one God. In the beginning, God, and the last verse of chapter 10. And then it goes on to genealogy. The families of Noah. Today, the teaching is there are many gods, and God is who you make him. But the books of the Bible teach there is only one God in all 66 books. God created at first Adam and Eve. All things, even the breath we take each and every day. People today are like the ancient Greeks. They desire knowledge, not the knowledge of the Bible. They're like the seed sower in Matthew 13. They take God's word with a pinch of salt and are eaten up by the birds of the air, like fluffy clouds. 1 minute they're there, next minute they're gone. There is no depth in their commitment to Christ. And in Matthew 7, it says there, the broad road to destruction and the narrow gate, and not many find it. Coming to Christ is so easy. It's like crossing the road. Some cross it in the midst of traffic and make it so difficult. But when you cross in the zebra crossing, you get there safely. For greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. So what do we give up? The answer is sin. A penitent heart Jesus will purify by his precious blood. What matchless love Jesus has poured out for us. Yet people think it's hard to give up everything for Christ. But he doesn't want us to give up everything, only the things that make us sin. Why choose Christ? The answer is, he has something far greater in store for us who follow him. We have stepped out, one step at a time, to realize Christ is the only way. There is no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go back to the Old Testament and look at Abraham. He believed God and accepted the promise, even though his wife and him were of old age. The promise were that they would have a child. They did not waver in their faith that God would fulfill his promise. He was righteous before God, and the joy and peace can be ours through faith. We have everything to rejoice about. Why do we worry about trials and tribulations? When Satan comes calling and tries to bring us down to his lies and his ways and make us worry, our response should be in prayer and ask God for the strength to overcome Satan. I've chosen a few words from Psalms. Psalms are such a great books to look at. And Psalm 27, verse 1, says there, "The Lord is the light of my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me and devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they shall stumble and fall." And then the next one is Psalm 37. Verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this." What wonderful encouragement the Psalms give to us. The dictionary describes anxious as troubled mind, worry, filled with anxiety, stress, fear, apprehension. But we have a promise. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And this is something we must hold on to, that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. So as we read in Philippians 4, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," you can understand Paul's letter to his brother Timothy. In all trials and tribulations, and boy, was Paul always in trouble? He was never out of it, because he spoke the truth. And we should speak the truth also, and never be condemned for speaking the truth. For God will uphold us at every turn, no matter what it is. Because Paul's attitude was a fruit for Christ. Can we testify to such dedication as Paul's? And the answer I can give is no. But we should. But we are all like Jonah. When he was asked to go to Nineveh, he ran the other way. But in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says there, "The eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those hearts who are committed to him." So let us ask ourselves the question, how committed are we? Is our strength in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we pray enough? Is our joy in his presence, celebration in his salvation? If we die today, we will be with Christ forever. And if he spares us until he comes, none of us know when that day will be, then he will take us home. The promise of grace and faith. We have been called to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, to do the will of God. We have to look at ourselves, at the overwhelming odds. In 1 Samuel 17, when David and Goliath, there was some battle. David knew by faith that he had already won the battle. His reliance wasn't on the stone or the sling. But he came out and he said, "How dare you defy the armies of the living God?" Yes, great was the celebration of Israel that day when Goliath lost his head. The cowardice of Israel was God's victory. We can again gain our strength. The Lord, our joy, our celebration. As when David took the ark from the home of Edom to Jerusalem. They danced, they sang, and they made merry. With great joy. Shouldn't we be the same? Shouldn't we dance for joy in the Lord Jesus Christ as they brought the ark and as we bring the ark into God's presence? So in conclusion, it just goes to show our weakness. I ask the question of myself and everyone else, where is our joy? How often do we celebrate? What Jesus has done for us. Oh, what a wonderful redemption is ours through that sacrifice on Calvary. There are some who just celebrate once a month around the Lord's table, and that is enough. But we should celebrate every moment of every day. May the Lord bless us all with his love, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in his sight. O Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.